gospel reading this morning comes from the sixth chapter of Luke's gospel. You remember this is the year when we read through Luke. Jesus has been up on the mountain to pray and comes down with his disciples. I begin the reading in verse 17. Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Holy Spirit, lead us as the hungry search for bread and the thirsty look for water. Make this a place for all who hunger and thirst. Light up the truth of these tales we retell. Spirit, lead us as we become the next chapter ourselves. Amen. If you follow any form of social media, you're probably familiar with the use of hashtags. A hashtag, or what we used to call a pound sign, followed by a word or a couple of words mashed together, is a way of categorizing social media posts. For instance, if I want to know about Maryville College athletics on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, I can put hashtag Go Scots or hashtag Scots Nation in the search field. And it would pull up every post marked with those hashtags. If I want to know about New Providence, I could search hashtag New Prov Press and see what's associated with our congregation. But there's this interesting phenomenon in recent years of people tagging their posts hashtag blessed, usually to express gratitude for fortunate circumstances. Earlier this week, I did a little research. Here's some of what I found. Share a pistachio latte with my friend Ellie. Hashtag blessed. Building my own house. Hashtag blessed. Look at my new off-road Toyota truck. Hashtag blessed. Just got to meet this precious bulldog. Hashtag blessed. Look at this sunset off the Oregon coast. Hashtag blessed. State champions. Hashtag blessed. As of today, I have zero balance on my credit cards. Hashtag blessed. And then this one, which frankly defies explanation. Finally hit the mother lode at America's Thrift Store in Birmingham. I've been looking for a house hippo for years, and today I found all these. And there's a picture of 18 or 20 small hippos on a countertop. Turns out the two crystal ones are Swarovski. There's also a solid brass computer and one heavy boy carved from stone. I can't believe I scored such a big collection. Hashtag blessed. A couple of years ago, my friend Jan Edmiston, who's the executive presbyter in Charlotte, wrote a fairly scathing blog post called Hashtag Lucky. And she argues that what and writes in Lucky. She references a TED Talk by Mark Sutcliffe, who reminds us that on the day we were born, either we won the ovarian lottery or we didn't. In other words, the luckier we are at birth, the luckier we continue to be in life. Good for you. You get to build your own house or travel to exotic destinations or pay off your credit cards. Lucky you. But like many of us, it's likely that you were born into enough generational wealth to be able to purchase that house or take that trip or even have the discretionary time and income to share a $7 pistachio latte with your BFF. Because as Jan says, we all know people who work twice as hard as we do, who will never climb out of poverty because some of us started on third base and some of us started in the pit behind the dugout. I'm always cautious about putting words in Jesus' mouth, but as I hear these verses from Luke, he couldn't agree more. His definition of blessing bears almost no resemblance to a social media hashtag. When the scene opens, Jesus has come down the mountain with his disciples. He had gone up the night before for prayer and reflection, and it was there that the calling of the 12 disciples happened. They descend en masse for Jesus to do this teaching as people from all over the region, even foreigners, come to hear him and be healed. Luke's words sound familiar. We know them as the Beatitudes, similar to what Matthew's Jesus announces in the Sermon on the Mount. But maybe you remember that Matthew's audience is primarily Jewish, and by putting Jesus up on a mountain, Matthew wants to evoke images of Moses on Mount Sinai. Only this time, Jesus is the new Moses, the new lawgiver. Moses brings the Ten Commandments from the mountain to the people, and Jesus speaks the gospel from on high as well. But for Luke, the geography makes a different point. Luke and scholars refer to this as the Sermon on the Plain, L-A-I-N. And by putting Jesus there on a level place, Luke wants to show how accessible Jesus is, not making pronouncements from on high, but down in the thick of it, at eye level and ear level, down among the crowds in the realm of ordinary, everyday human existence. Apparently, that's not what the disciples had in mind. Because Luke tells us that Jesus has to look up at them when he begins to speak, as if he kept descending and they lingered up above the fray in hopes that their new job titles might remove them from the mess and muck of life. Jesus seems to look up at them as if to say, "Will you get down here and help?" If he hasn't made himself clear enough, Luke's Jesus drives the point home. While Matthew tells us that it is the poor in spirit who are blessed, for Luke it's just the poor and the hungry and the grieving and the despised. Got it yet? If not, Jesus piles on, "Woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are full. Woe to you who are laughing. Woe to you when I'll speak about you." In other words, Jesus turns our assumption of blessings upside down. Blessings don't accrue to the ones at the top of the mountain or the top of the socioeconomic ladder. Blessings come to the ones who are faithful despite their circumstances. The ones Jeremiah describes as planted by the waters, drawing their strength from the soil. The ones who have it all already have their rewards, Jesus says. And the ones who are blessed are the ones who have nothing at all except God. And they know it. Dr. Kate Bowler teaches at Duke Divinity School, and I know some of you are familiar with her work, because at least some of our study groups and classes have read and studied her memoir titled Everything Happens for a Reason and Other Lies I've Loved. At 35, Kate Bowler had everything going for her. PhD, tenure track position at her alma mater, publication of her first book, married to her high school sweetheart, mother of a precious one-year-old. All of that suddenly upended by a diagnosis of stage 4 colon cancer. Ironically, Dr. Bowler's scholarship examines the phenomenon referred to as the prosperity gospel. Prosperity gospel preachers explicitly link God's blessing to earthly happiness and fortune. It suggests that following Jesus means no pain, no suffering, no heartache, only joy and success, and that our lives will be filled with all sorts of material indicators that prove God just wants to make us happy. Think Joel Osteen. Think Creflo Dollar. Think Jim Baker. All of whom define blessings as things that make life easier or more comfortable. Nothing could be farther from the truth, Dr. Bowler says. In an article published just this month, she writes, Jesus says, blessed are you when you are at the end of your rope. When you are exhausted and despairing. When tears are your food morning and night. When your stomach grumbles and your mouth is dry, blessed are you who forgive the person who never said sorry and definitely didn't deserve to be forgiven. You who are ridiculed and humiliated, left out and left behind. You who are timid and soft-spoken. You who work hard. I read recently about a church mission team that traveled to Haiti to help in a medical clinic. They stayed at a guest house where there was a little sign in the bathroom like the ones you've seen in hotel rooms. Except instead of, if you forgot your toothbrush or your razor, call the front desk and we'll be happy to bring you one. This Haitian sign said, let us know if there is anything you forgot. We'll be happy to show you how to live without. That is hashtag.